action.
Hey there, movie kings and queens! Welcome to episode 35 of the Real Gay Movie Show. I'm your host, Mike Lovins, and with me is someone who's been many guys' first man, my co-host, Ryan Provost.
Now, I wouldn't go that far, Mike. Maybe best man, but not necessarily their first.
Well, either way, I hope they had a better time than the people staying at the El Royale.
Oh, wow. Way to tie it all in.
Ba-dum-bum. So speaking of the El Royale, we're going to talk a little bit about that before we get into our main topic, which is First Man.
Sure.
So for the people who maybe didn't see the trailer or know what this is, so it's about seven strangers, each with a secret to bury, meet at Lake Tahoe's El Royale, a rundown hotel with a dark past. Over the course of one fateful night, everyone will have a last shot at redemption before everything goes to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it was directed by Drew Goddard, who also did A Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
This is the second time that he's teamed up with Chris Hemsworth. It also had Jeff Bridges and Dakota Johnson. And I don't know if she's a newcomer or not, but Cynthia Erivo, E-R-I-V-O. Anyway, so what'd you think of it?
So I thought the trailer was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved the trailer. And I am a really big fan of Cabin in the Woods. I love that movie so much. So seeing that Drew Goddard, who made that movie, was making this one, and loving the trailer, I was very, very, very much looking forward to this movie. So to say I was disappointed,
were you?
Is quite a statement, because this was very anticipated for me. You know what kind of feel this film had?
Hmm.
This felt like a knockoff, a bad knockoff of a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
Like it had, you know, a lot of violence. It had a lot of kind of eccentric characters with mysterious pasts.
Non-linear storytelling.
Right, with like the chapters on the screens kind of, and all that kind of stuff. It had tried to have some of those big dialogue scenes, and it feels very much like a Quentin Tarantino movie. Knockoff.
See, now I felt the same thing as far as it had a Tarantino vibe, but I felt it more of kind of an homage to Tarantino, not a knockoff.
Well, if it was okay,
because I actually liked it. So
I was very disappointed in it, because if it was meant to be an homage, it missed the one most critical thing to a great Tarantino movie.
A Tarantino cameo?
No. It missed a Tarantino script.
Gotcha.
His scripts, and he has even said, like, a lot of people know Tarantino is a great director, but he has even said that when he makes a movie, he would rather win 10 best screenwriter Oscars than 10 best director Oscars. And he put so much work into the script. I feel like if this movie had been made by Tarantino, it would have been like an hour longer, because like, I don't feel like I got a full grasp of really any of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Tarantino had made it, and we'll just go ahead and go into spoilers, 'cause I mean, there's not much to say without spoiling this movie, but
you've been warned.
Yeah. We would have gotten more into the gang that did the bank heist,
right?
That the priest, you know, we would have seen more of that instead of like just the very end where they're like, okay, we're going to run away with the money. You know, like that's all we get of it. We would have, you know, seen more of that weird Chris Hemsworth cult lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like there would have been more focused focus on those characters and developing and hashing them out and fully realizing them so that you can, when bad things start to happen to them, you are more emotionally invested. Whereas, so like the kid who works for the hotel, we get what, 2 to 5 minutes of showing his history and I think it was what war was it?
Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh, was it Vietnam? This felt like it was set, took place in like the '60s.
Well, it was, late '60s.
Okay.
So it was still going on.
Yeah. Okay. So we see that for literally just a couple minutes and then cut back to present day. Like we don't really see any of like how it affected him after or anything like that. Except through him making minor references to, oh, I've done bad things.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying if Tarantino had made this movie, all of that would have been fleshed out and more fully realized.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like it was all, again, I call it a knockoff to Tarantino because it felt like it misunderstood the things that make a Tarantino film.
Well, that's great. Fair. That's fair. And I can totally see all of your points. I think I just may have enjoyed what it was a little bit more.
I mean, I did enjoy it.
It was a slow start, though. I felt like it took me a little while to get into it.
I was the opposite.
Were you?
I was loving the beginning, and then as things started to get revealed, I was less intrigued.
Okay.
Because... It didn't deliver. And whereas, and maybe I had some expectations because of Cabin in the Woods.
Uh-huh.
And that movie about halfway through takes the most unexpected turn and goes in an entirely different direction. And the script for that movie is so good.
Right.
The quips and the funny moments in that movie are so great. Whereas in this one, some of them land, but a lot of them are kind of flat. If they even happen at all. So while I enjoyed this movie more than a lot, because I feel like everyone involved is so talented, it's hard to make a bad movie. It just disappointed me.
Yeah.
It wasn't what I hoped it would be. Like, I think the best version of this movie would have been easily in my top 10 favorite of the year.
Had it been an actual Tarantino movie.
Or just in general, just made it great. Yeah. Gotcha. Like if it had been, I think it needed a much stronger script. I think it, and I rarely say this about movies, it needed to be longer. Like it needed more character development. Yeah. It needed more. I needed to see more. They gave us the bare minimum information about each character for us to have a basic understanding of somewhat of their motivation.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I don't think in this entire movie, at least the parts that he's in it, that Chris Hemsworth's shirt is buttoned up at all. And for that reason alone, this movie, highly recommend.
Yeah.
Can't recommend enough for that. They did a great job of showing off everything he has to offer.
Well, probably kind of getting kind of long in with this movie, but oh, the last thing I wanted to mention though, I said if this place was a real place, but did you know that it actually is based on a real hotel?
Is it?
Yeah. And it was called the Cal Neva Resort and Casino. And it actually closed in like 2013 for renovations and it's never reopened. But in the '60s, it was actually owned by Frank Sinatra.
Oh, cool.
So it, just like this, it rested on that border.
A solid concept for a movie. Again, the actors were great.
Great cast.
Yeah, I love Chris Hemsworth. I love Jeff Bridges.
I even kind of forgave Dakota Johnson for the 50 Shades movie.
I have not seen a single 50 Shades movie. John Hamm is great, especially in this kind of like, I mean.
This was a good role for him.
Right. He just exudes that 60s man,
right?
Kind of 50s, 60s era. I guess that's just the legacy of Mad Men for him.
Yeah,
but yeah, the cast is really good. It's an okay movie. It's just the potential is that it could have been an amazing movie.
Yeah.
And it just did not hit that height at all.
Well, would you rate it? I have a feel I have, well, it's probably pretty clear my rating is going to be higher than yours, but what did you give it?
Yours may not be. It's higher than me.
You know me.
So yeah, I'm going to give it a 2.5.
Okay.
Because I think the script needs a lot of work. I think the story needs a lot of work. I just need more. When you have such a great more. Foundation for all these characters and for what you're putting out there, you got to give me more, and you didn't. And so, yeah, 2.5 for me needs work.
Okay. Well, I gave it 3.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed the movie. So I had a really good time. All right. 2.5 and 3 reels.
Yep.
So First Man.
Yes.
Was on your most anticipated list.
It was.
So, you know, if there's anybody out there who doesn't know what this movie is about, it is basically a biographical film. It takes a look at the life of the astronaut Neil Armstrong and the legendary space mission that led him to become the first man to walk on the moon on July 20th, 1969.
Now, Mike, where were you watching this when it happened?
Where was I? I was just a blink in my daddy's eye. I'm not that old, Jesus. I mean, I was born 6 years later, but anyway. So tell me your thoughts, Mr. Man, on First Man.
I gave my thoughts first on Bad Times at the El Royale. Why don't you give your thoughts first?
This was your...
Why don't you be the first man to talk about First Man?
Okay. I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good analysis.
Yeah. I liked it.
I can see it on the movie poster. I liked it. Mike Lovins, Real Game Movie Show.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I didn't like some of the choices that they made in the filming. Yes, I know it takes place in the 60s, but the kind of cameras that we have, we don't need to see a movie made to look like it was filmed in the 60s. That was my initial kind of, and I did feel like this movie was a bit long.
Yeah, it was 2.5 hours about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, sometimes depending on how you feel about a movie, 2.5 hours can fly by. I kind of really felt like I felt this 2.5 hours. But that's not to say that I didn't think it was a good movie. It's definitely a good movie. And, you know, very good cast again. So, I mean, I would still say go see it. See it on the big screen. But I did see it in IMAX, and that might, you know, like you were saying with Venom last week, that might kind of affect how the way that it was filmed looks.
Yeah. I saw it in IMAX too. I saw it today.
Okay.
And I couldn't be more different in how I think about how the film looks.
Okay.
I think this was one of the best shot films I've seen this year. And I thought Chazelle made some really cool choices in how he filmed a lot of this movie.
Yeah.
I liked the grainy look to the movie. I thought it made it look more of the time period that it was taking place in, and kind of because I feel like a space movie, especially with all the, I mean, we have Gravity that just came out a few years ago.
Right.
I mean, it would look weird if this movie that takes place in the 60s looked like more futuristic. You know what I mean? I think that framing it and keeping it, and remember, this was in the 60s. This was not in modern times. This was 50 years ago almost. I think that makes it even more mind-blowing. And I think from now seeing how the movie was shot, which is what impressed me most about this entire movie, you can tell that Chazelle was trying to get across just how impossible a task this seemed to be. Mm-hmm. Whereas those of us who weren't alive when this happened, you barely included in that. But those of us who think of this as just an historical event that happened and not something we lived through, think of it almost, I feel like, as an inevitability, like that, of course it happened like that. Neil Armstrong was a American hero and he said, put me in that rocket. And they got in a rocket and he went up there and it was great. But the actual task was so much more difficult and consuming and took such a toll and was greatly debated. And actually seeing that in the way that he filmed it, from all the scenes that took place inside of whatever vehicle they were in, I thought that was really cool and really made you feel like if something went wrong, you were in danger, even though you're just watching it as a audience member. I thought that first scene where he's bouncing off the atmosphere and potentially just gonna float off into space, like if he doesn't figure it out, like that just...
Well, and I get what they were doing too with like the shaky cam and stuff, but that started like giving me a headache.
Oh, my chest hurt at one point, and I had to like ground myself.
Its intention was to give you a visceral effect. Yeah. And I get that, it did.
When I was a kid, there was this attraction when I lived in Texas at the Six Flags down there, where you go in and it's like you're in Top Gun and you're in a fighter jet, uh-huh, and you're in these seats that like move, and Danger Zone played the entire time and it always freaked me out. But this was the closest to that experience, and I wasn't moving at all. I was just sitting there, but I felt very anxious, and I liked that choice because he was trying to convey just how composed these people, and specifically Neil Armstrong, had to be to in these situations where they are probably more likely than not going to die.
Right. Well, here's the thing is that I guess it's more just the graininess stuff that bothered me, because I thought that there were just some really beautiful shots in there. And I agree with you too, as far as like how he showed us the confined spaces and all that kind of stuff. I thought that was great. I just kind of felt like some of the graininess diminished some of those beautiful shots that I saw underneath that.
It's not even that the shots were beautiful for me. It's just that the way it gave you that experience.
Yeah. That I like.
With CGI and everything these days, he could have shown all these shots from outside the ship and showing you, you know,
right,
from that perspective. But instead, at almost every, especially critical moment, we are inside the ship, mm-hmm, with them, watching it with them.
Right. Even like when they're docking, you're seeing it from inside the cockpit. You're not seeing from the outside. No, I like
it. Almost
that
makes it feel like, I mean, this movie not only took place in the 60s, but could have been made at any point between the 60s and now. It feels like there, it doesn't reek of just over reliance on CGI and all that kind of stuff. It feels a little more practical, which makes it feel, I don't know, a little more like it was shot almost like a documentary, you know, and not like, look at this amazing shot we can make from the space. Right. So I appreciate that. We don't get much of that these days. So the way this movie was shot was by far my favorite thing about it. I thought it was masterfully shot.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can't argue with you. It's different opinion on some of the look of it, but it was shot very well. So, you know, this is the second movie in a row now that we reviewed that originally had Clint Eastwood attached to direct it.
Oh, I'm so glad he didn't. Damien Chazelle is an amazing director. I still haven't seen Whiplash. I need to see it. La La Land, though, was, I thought, amazing. And as much as I love Moonlight, I actually still feel like La La Land was the best picture that year. I just feel like he has limitless potential. He's definitely one of those filmmakers that anytime he makes a movie, I feel like I will need to see it. And what's crazy about this is that he is almost 2 years. Yeah. Almost 2 years older than me. And he's done this with his life. Like, already made really, really great movies. Like, not okay movies, but like movies that are really quite the accomplishment at such a young age. Like, he has such a great future ahead of him. And I know you're a big music fan. Musically, I feel like the music in this movie felt very Damien Chazelle. Like, he has a very distinct style with how he uses music in movies.
Perhaps. It's funny because I was just talking to a coworker about that today, and it was just kind of like, I haven't seen Whiplash either, and I need to see that. I've seen bits and pieces of it. But so La La Land is the only movie of his that, like, I specifically
saw
can reference the sure. music and given the kind of music that was in La La Land, and it feels much different to me than the music that was in this movie. So I don't have that correlation.
Really? I felt like the way he uses music to tell the story and puts it in certain places and even uses kind of, I wouldn't call it jazz in this one, but music that
there's a little bit though. I mean,
a little jazzy,
which I did kind of catch that though. Like, in the places where maybe not in the score, but the callbacks to that record that Ryan Gosling would put on and then play later on in, you know, on the cassette in the spaceship and stuff like that. So so I can kind of see what you're saying there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just something that's very much a signature of his. I think he cares a lot about the music being used in his movies. And I appreciate that. It's almost like when you see a really great work of art and you see the artist's signature at the bottom of it. Like, that's how I feel about the music in his movies, is it feels very much like that.
So did you know that they actually used some of the NASA recordings, like the actual real recordings in the movie?
What do you mean recordings?
So like when they're on the spacecraft and they're talking to Houston and stuff like that, some of the stuff that was being answered back to them was actual NASA recordings.
I was wondering that actually in the movie.
I like that they did that, incorporated that, give it that extra bit of realness.
Sure. What other things did you like about it or not like about it? Also, should we do a spoiler alert about whether or not they made it?
I was so shocked that they made it.
Wait, do you have to do a spoiler alert for a movie like this? If you don't know how this movie turns out, you should have paid attention in history class.
Right, right. Probably not.
Spoiler alert for First Man.
Yeah. Neil Armstrong.
The fact that Neil Armstrong didn't die until 2012 doesn't tell you that the mission was fine. Okay.
Is Buzz Aldrin still alive? Or
he is. I actually looked that up. He's Buzz Aldrin still going.
Because like some of the he's like an eccentric kind of old man now, I think, too.
Who isn't? I'm getting there rapidly.
Curmudgeon-y, not eccentric.
Same.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was really interesting to see that what the families of these astronauts were going through.
Sure.
And I'm glad that, you know, even though, you know, First Man and it kind of focused on Neil Armstrong, I was glad to see them kind of go into what was happening with some of the other guys too, that, you know, and they all lived on that, that military ranch housing kind of thing. You see neighborhoods like that around here too. It was good to see those inner demons too, especially with Neil Armstrong. Like, you know, I knew nothing about his daughter and what that was putting him through. And, I don't know if it was embellished with him taking the bracelet and to the moon or
not. I was wondering that too.
That seemed kind of Hollywood. It'd be really cool if that were true, but yeah. That seemed kind of Hollywood.
I mean, he, at least from everything I've seen, seemed to be a very, he shied away from being a super public figure.
Yeah.
Whereas other astronauts like John Glenn was very much embraced being a super public figure, who was very much in the spotlight up until he passed away. What was it? This year, right?
I think so.
Recently. Really this year. Yeah. So Neil Armstrong, we don't know a lot about him, and meaning by we, the general public. And so I thought it was kind of cool to see more of his personal life.
I'm just curious as to what parts were actually embellished versus what they knew about.
I used to get really into that. Now I care more about that. It's just a good movie. Yeah. Like,
that's fair. That's fair too.
I want it just to make it good, make it entertaining, make it something different. And I know a lot of people might end up comparing this movie to, say, Apollo 13, which was, or maybe to a lesser extent, Gravity, with it being a space-based movie, but a very different type of movie, whereas Apollo 13 took place in the same-ish time period. And I think that they did make some really good choices, again, with how they filmed this movie and told the story, to differentiate itself from how Apollo 13 was told.
See, now, I actually compared it more to Hidden Figures.
Okay.
Maybe it was a bad thing because I think I prefer Hidden Figures over this movie, but and I know there it's all within NASA, but telling two different stories, obviously. Right. And maybe it's just because, you know, for the most part, Hidden Figures is a little more jovial.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, for some reason though, that's the movie that kept creeping into my mind when I was thinking of comparisons.
Yeah. But this movie wasn't, I'm glad this movie didn't have a jovial turn or feel to it.
Right. It's not what this movie was meant for.
I like that this movie really focused on the stakes of what they were doing. I mean, and how difficult it was. Even that scene, I love that scene where they're, in the little classroom and Kyle Chandler says, okay, here's where Sputnik went. Here's where Sputnik 2 went. And he goes, here's where we're going to go.
Yeah,
and
draws the line.
And then gets the guy to bring the second chalkboard over to show it even longer.
And then the other guy corrects him.
But even that was such a cool, powerful moment because, like, with this level of science, that kind of little mistake in the grand scheme of things can mean life or death.
Right. Yeah.
And I thought that was super powerful that, oh, I was almost there. Well, oop, I was almost there can cost people their lives when they're actually, I thought that was, it was a funny little joke, but also super powerful when you extrapolate the meaning of, oops, I was off a little bit, to what that ends up meaning later in the movie for some other people where there was wiring that was off that caused people to die, you know, like
those scenes were intense too.
Right. Yeah. Just, and the fact that it was all, again, that whole, it being filmed and confined into,
right. You felt that fear.
Yeah. Whereas, in a movie like Apollo 13, they did a lot of cutting back and forth between the mission and the like control room.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I feel like this movie, they chose to stay in the more dangerous spot, which is in the shuttles, than cut. Yes, they did show some scenes at the like mission control. But I felt like they chose only to do that when absolutely necessary, when the choice was, do we show from the perspective of being in the shuttle or being down on Earth? We're going to be in the shuttle.
Well, and I think too, that allowed them the opportunity to use some of those original recordings, yes, too. Not having to show the people talking so much.
Yeah. So I can't speak enough about how great this movie is shot. And I think, I mean, this is kind of movie, if in a history class in the future, they're teaching about the moon landing, this is what they should show,
yeah,
to kids, to get them to really appreciate how.
But then you'll have people sit going, see, it was just Hollywood.
Oh my God, Mike.
Stop. But no. Okay. So here's one thing I'm going to say though. I'd like to see it again too. So I saw this. This was the second movie that I saw that day after seeing A Star Is Born again. And then in between seeing these two movies, going furniture shopping and stuff. So it's possible too that my mindset was just like
tired.
Where then, you know, maybe it's a nitpicky kind of thing, because yeah, I did like the movie. I mean, yeah, I don't want to come across as that I didn't like the movie.
Well, and I mean, I haven't even talked about Ryan Gosling yet, who, aside from being a dreamboat, and I loved your post. Mike posted on social media. Well, it was Monday for those of you listening in the future, but it's today for us now.
Right.
But Mike posted some with Ryan Gosling with his shirt off, which is also great. But he is just such a great actor.
He really is.
And for a character like Neil Armstrong, who, again, the point of this character was, and the kind of the vibe you get from who he was as a person, was, again, shied away from the public spotlight, did not want to always be front and center. And that's not who you think of when you think of who is going to be the first person to walk on the moon,
right?
The first human to walk on the moon. And I think Ryan Gosling, more than most other actors working today, does such a great job of conveying so much through doing so little.
Yeah, he does a very good job of that.
Like, you just look into his eyes and you can see a million feelings and emotions that he's feeling at one time, and it's so cool.
Well, like more than once in the movie, they come to him and say, we think this next one or the one after that is going to be the one that does this or that, and we want you to command it. And, you know, there's no, oh, great, thanks for the opportunity. You know, it's just, okay. And
yeah, they even had the scene where it was a press conference and they asked him, so you just got selected to be the commander of this mission, and how did you feel? I was pleased.
Right. And then they follow up the question, yeah, and he's like, I was pleased.
I was pleased. Which is also, you know, when guys ask for feedback after sexual experiences with me.
Right.
That's the greatest amount of excitement I will get as well. I was pleased. But yeah, I
believe that.
Actually. He's just such an amazing actor. And again, I'm sticking with my prediction that Christian Bale is winning the Oscar this year for Best Actor, but I certainly think Ryan Gosling is going to be nominated for this role, rightfully so. It's just not a super showy role. There's not a bunch of big scenes, yeah, of him. Like you think of that, like Oscar. So at the Oscars, when they go through the list of nominees and then like they have the short clip of them doing something wild.
Yeah.
Like Claire Foy, when she gets nominated for Best Supporting Actress, it's going to be when she's yelling at him, yes, to say something to his kids before he leaves.
Yeah.
The moment that scene happened, I was like, oh, there's Claire Foy's Oscar, you know, clip.
Yeah.
But Ryan Gosling's performance is so calm, cool, and collected the whole time, because that's what his character is supposed to be, but it doesn't lend to that really showy performance, but that's what's so great about him is he is very nuanced in how he acts.
Well, there's many times too where there's like several minutes in a row where there's almost like nothing said,
including the very end of this movie where it's her walking into the room and he's on the other side of the glass and literally no dialogue.
Right. And it's like, you can feel the emotion. It's palpable. You get what's going on, but you're right. If they were showing clips for being nominated, they're not going to just show a clip where they just are staring at each other.
But
it made a good scene.
And what's so amazing about that scene was, again, I didn't know much about Neil Armstrong's personal life either, but watching just how they interacted with each other throughout the movie and that scene in particular, I thought, I bet they got divorced at some point. And surely enough, they did. Like,
did they? Because I was wondering that too.
But that's how perfectly Damien Chazelle builds his characters. Is he doesn't have... Did you also notice that my biggest pet peeve did not happen in this movie? There was no post-movie, like...
Oh, yeah,
Neil Armstrong went on to live for another 50-something years. And
after getting a divorce.
Yeah, they got divorced and blah, blah, blah. They didn't do it because they didn't need to.
Right, it was not relevant to the story being told.
But I still had a feeling at the end of this movie, like, just the way they're interacting with each other. I was like, I bet they got divorced. And sure enough, they did. And it didn't need to be in a post-movie, like, title card, anything. Right. Like... Oh, it was so good. Like, this movie may get a whole other reel just for doing just that. Just for leaving that out. Like, that, again, for me, is just another sign of how great a filmmaker Damien Chazelle is that he's not going to fall into those tropes of what a movie like this has to be. Because this did not feel, kind of like what you said, it didn't feel like it was just about Neil Armstrong. It felt like it was about more characters, and it was about the family, but it was also about the other astronauts and this mission as a whole.
I mean, because telling the story about Neil Armstrong, they didn't need to show his wife consoling the wife across the street that lost her husband and stuff like, you know, they didn't need to get into that kind of stuff, but it added to the story.
It did. And that's the thing. It was a long movie, but if you ask me, well, what are you going to cut out? Well, I'm not going to cut out that scene because that did such a good job of showing just how this is constrain a family dynamic and a marriage.
Yeah.
And why Claire Foy was so worked up about him leaving for this mission and getting so absorbed with his work that he was kind of neglecting his family and like little things like that, that attention to detail is so amazing and so important that it makes it hard for you to say, okay, it's a long movie, here's what I would cut out of it.
Yeah.
I agree it was a long movie. It's hard for me to think of exactly what all I would cut out of it though, because everything has a purpose. Is it absolutely necessary? Maybe not, but like everything does have a purpose. There's not extra fat in this movie that you can trim to make it feel like it would take away a little bit of what this overall movie is trying to do.
Well, the lesson here is that if I'm going to do a double feature and one of them is a movie we're going to review, see that first.
Yes. Instead of seeing the movie we reviewed last week again.
Because I'm sure going into a movie tired doesn't help you think that it's not a long movie.
Yeah, Night School may have been my favorite movie of the year, but I saw it when I was tired and it was 9:40 in the evening, and so I don't like it.
There's art in this room that is kind of...
there is. You have some little space art.
Yeah, and it kind of looks 60s-ish.
How wild would that be if I walked in here every week and that was different to match whatever the movie was?
Pay attention, bud.
Oh, my God. Now I'm going to be paranoid. Which is, it's great for us to talk about this on the podcast where no one can see what we're talking about.
Right.
You should post a picture of that.
My little solar system over here.
Oh, yeah. You should post that on our social media.
I just might do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Picture coming soon.
But yeah, I mean, the more I talk about this movie, actually, the more I think it is a movie that with time and maybe even with a repeat viewing, you would appreciate more. Is it a perfect movie? No. Is it a movie you would want to see a million times? Absolutely not. But I think it is a very well done movie. I think it is I think it's probably the best way you could possibly tell this story. Because, I mean, again, it's been almost 50 years. The fact that they haven't, Hollywood hasn't created this movie to this point,
yeah,
is kind of wild.
You know what's crazy, too, is that we carry around in our pockets more computing power than what was on board that ship.
I mean, yeah, my dick is great, but I wouldn't say it's that great. Oh, you mean phones?
No, I meant your rocket.
Red rocket.
Yum.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's crazy. I mean, I've heard that before, that there's more computing power inside an iPhone than there was in those spacecrafts back then. That's just amazing.
I had a boss recently who he loved to do the thing that old people do where they say,
back in my day.
No. Where like, if something's not going our way or we can't get something, and he's like, we can put a man on the moon, but we can't blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And now that I saw this movie, I was like, well, it wasn't that easy.
I mean, that's not to say that an iPhone could have gotten somebody to the moon. I'm just saying.
Well, I did just get the new update, so I'm not sure if that's one of the apps.
So you mentioned the music, and there was one thing that stood out to me that kind of had an impact on me watching this.
The Eminem song at the end?
Yeah. No, it was during one of the protests, the guy, we don't have clean water, but Whitey on the moon,
yep.
You know, and I was like, you know, as exciting as it is to think about going to space and putting a man on the moon and stuff like that, to look at the times and stuff like that and really think about what that meant to people who were struggling and stuff like that, and for their impression of what we're spending the money on.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's, Chazelle is so, he's so great of a filmmaker to portray, I think to not portray a lot of the tension that was going on in our country at that time, mm-hmm. in the movie, in this time in 2018 is completely deaf to what the reality of our country is right now.
Right.
If you had made this movie 20 years ago, yeah, you don't have to include that at all. You can just make it about the mission and you're fine. But in 2018, people are aware enough to where it would seem like a mistake to not include some of that.
We woke now, you know,
but truly I, and the fact that, I that really struck me in the movie. I'm glad you talked about it because I thought that was a very smart and inventive and creative and powerful way to talk about how certainly a lot of the public felt about all mm-hmm. this, what they probably thought of as space nonsense. Like, we're throwing all this money at this, but we have all these people who are poor. We have all these struggles that are happening right here. Why are we trying so hard to beat the Soviets in this silly space race?
Right.
So that was super powerful to me. I liked how he chose to show that. That was cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only problem is it wasn't sung by Eminem.
You know,
missed opportunities. I know he was busy with Venom. He was busy with Venom. He took a long time. I heard it took him years to come up with the lyrics of that song. so, yeah. Whoa.
Hello.
Mike just got a message on Grindr. So are you going to send him that whole pic he's requesting or not?
I'm going to send him the whole pic.
Okay.
Woo. As long as he sends one back. Okay.
Or as we call it, the full moon.
The full moon. That's right.
And bringing it around to the topic of the movie.
See if I can get somebody to walk on my moon.
It wouldn't be the first man.
No, it's very true. So anything else you want to talk about specifically before we get into takes?
Nah, let's get into takes.
Let's take it away.
Take.
Okay. Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Why don't you go? Okay. I think I went first last week. Why don't you go first this week?
Okay.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what?
What's your gayest take for First Man?
Okay. So what if... Here we go.
I'm wondering if you're going in the same route I went with mine. Go ahead.
Okay. What if the whole reason that they wanted to get to the moon was so they could deport all the gays to space?
Oh, my God.
Now, wait a minute.
Stop it.
I mean, it would explain why Russia always seemed to be a step ahead of the U.S.
Stop it. Okay, you did not go the way I went. That's weird. Yeah, that's a stretch. Not in the good way. You did that, and you're like Harvey Weinstein. Weinstein. That's the bad one. Firestein.
Ah. I've been doing that at work a lot lately too.
Okay. That was not your best.
That was a stretched hole.
Yeah. Anywho, you stretched that first man. My gayest take. Okay. So thinking about this whole like space, you mentioned they lived in the little commune and everything. How fabulous would it be to have that little commune, but it's all gay men working on this little mission together.
Right.
And then at the end of it, you just get to shoot up into space with some other cute guy. And you're just like, okay, so what are we going to do?
We're stuck in this little capsule together. Here, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do? Let's kill some time.
Nobody can see us.
What happens in space stays in space. Right, Houston? That's right.
Apollo, what is your status? What?
Negative. On prep. Duh.
Negative. Jeez. Apollo, what is your current position? Versatile.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right.
See, I brings the gay takes.
You do bring the gay takes.
I brings them.
All right.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what, Ryan?
Throw some shade at First Man.
Okay. There was a lot of smoking in this movie. And...
It was the 60s. They knew better.
That's actually what I said in here. I get it. It was the 60s. But I just can't... I know they were trying to be real. I think it comes from being an ex-smoker. It's when I see it all the time, then it starts to make me want one.
Oh, right.
So That's okay. Go on.
I never thought about it that way. I can't relate to that because I've never been a smoker. This episode is going to have so much ice rolling around in it.
Is that bugging you?
I just, every 2 seconds, I hear just like people aren't going to tell if we were actually recording the episode or we were playing Yahtzee.
Well, I'm out of water now, so the ice is all at the bottom of the cup, and that's how I'm getting my wet mouth.
Full house. Okay.
Okay.
My shadiest take. Well, we made this whole movie for what? This hoax? We never really landed on the moon.
Right?
Didn't actually
happen. That's what I'm
saying. Stanley Kubrick filmed it in a studio. That's why Neil Armstrong was filled with shame for the rest of his life and was not actually a public figure. Because he knew it was all fake.
Right. That's That's what I'm saying.
He was a better actor than Ryan Gosling could ever hope to be.
They're going to show this film to kids in school to tell them about the moon landing.
But that's not true. We really did go to the moon. My actual shade is we just reviewed A Star Is Born last week. I said what I said, and I believe what I believe, and I am mad that there were no drag queens in this movie. What, you couldn't put one in as one of the people they were interviewing about, hey, how do you feel about us going to the moon?
Honey, let me tell you, we don't need to be up in no space. You all up in my space right now.
That Neil Armstrong could be up in my moon.
You want a moon, honey? Here it is.
You are clear to land. Houston, we do not have a problem.
The problem is you ain't up in here. Okay. That's funny.
But that's my... I didn't have a lot of shade. I like this movie a lot.
The drag queens were all at Stonewall. They couldn't be bothered with. Gosh.
I know. Those selfish queens.
Bitches.
Hey, who slayed this movie for you, Mike?
I'll bet you we have the same one.
Probably.
Claire Foy?
Nope.
Oh!
You went with the Foy, did you?
I did. I went with the Foy Monty.
You're a Foy boy.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I'm not Foying around. I just think... So... And it goes to how I kind of feel about her in general right now. I feel like she's been playing some pretty diverse roles. I thought that she was just fantastic in this movie. She's got quite a career ahead of her.
I mean, she's definitely on fire right now. Like, she's in a lot of things. Obviously, her big thing was The Crown, right? Is that what that show's called?
Yeah.
And then she was in, what was that Steven Soderbergh movie earlier this year? The iPhone?
Unsane.
Film? Unsane.
Yep.
She's
got the
girl with the spider's web.
Yeah. And that's kind of, they're still showing the previews for that right now. In fact, they played that preview before this movie. And it's just like such a different performance from what I can, you know, tell from the preview.
No, she's having a moment.
Yeah.
She's certainly getting a lot of, I bet she's going to host SNL this season.
Oh, that'd be.
I would put money on it. I don't know if it would be great, but she's definitely going to, I bet she will.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's a good one. I mean, I feel like it's much like last week. There's two potential slays for this movie. And mine is the other one. I'm going with Ryan Gosling just because of how...
Of course, I went for the women. You went for the men.
Yeah. It's pretty much how our entire lives have gone up until now.
Up until now.
just how subtly brilliant of an actor that I feel that he is. It's... amazing. He is so good. He is going to win an Oscar. I don't think it's going to be for this movie.
See, what's funny is like, so you went for Ryan Gosling in this for like his subtlety, and I kind of went for Claire Foy for some of the intensity.
Which I think that's one of the things that's really great about her as an actress is I now having seen her in a few things, she does bring a lot of intensity to her roles and maybe,
but without being overacting.
Right. Totally. She's great. But he, I mean, you look at some of the roles he's done. So he does bring that. He can do so much with so little.
Yeah.
You think of a movie like Drive. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see Drive?
I did.
Yeah. So great.
Yeah.
The Blade Runner last year. This movie, like he can put out more emotion with less movement of his face,
but he can also be extremely like the nice guys.
Yeah.
I love that movie and the role that he plays there. But have you ever seen Lars and the Real Girl? I can't remember if we talked about that
one. No.
It's a good movie and he kind of plays a character a little bit more kind of similar to the way he played Neil Armstrong. I mean, they're completely different people, but you know, he plays that a much more of a quiet loner kind of person.
Yeah. But I mean, he just does that. So his range is amazing. I mean, even in a movie like La La Land where he was you know, a more vivacious
jovial,
kind of person. Yeah, he doesn't have to just be a more reserved character.
I mean, he even was a Mouseketeer.
Even when he's playing a more out there character, just the way he expresses himself, I think it's just masterful. He is so good. And this movie really, I think, demonstrated that to even another level. I think he did this role better than any other actor could. And yeah, he's great. And not hard to look at.
No, absolutely not.
So yeah,
he's one of my favorites to look at
for sure. Ryan's usually are.
I mean, my dream sandwich is like me being the meat in between Gosling and Reynolds.
I want a Ryan sandwich with me, Gosling and Reynolds, all Ryans all the time.
That's like a hoagie.
I'd be the hoe. I'm the hoe. They're the gee.
Right.
For sure. Yep. Speaking of things no one wants to see, what's your, no, ma'am.
I like what you did there. You're going to hate my reasoning behind this and you're gonna make fun of me. I'm here for it. Corey Stoll.
Buzz Aldrin's a dick.
No. I just don't like Corey Stoll, so I'm going to give him a no ma'am no matter what he's in.
Yep. That's fair.
I don't know what it is about him. I don't like him. I don't like him.
But do you like him?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I don't know if Aldrin was really that kind of insensitive and jerky in real life or not. That alone could be a reason to give a no man, but really it's just, I don't like him.
Okay.
And you?
Mine is Corey Stoll. just because he's like, and I think being in a movie with Ryan Gosling shows how much of an overactor he can be.
Yeah.
I think he wants so badly to chew up scenery. He did it in Ant-Man. He did it in House of Cards. 'Cause he pops up every now and then in Things I See. And yeah, you're right. He's just, there's something about, I think it's that he doesn't know any art of subtlety. He only goes for it.
Right.
And it can work well. I thought it worked fine in Ant-Man. I thought having a super comical, over the top villain in a very comical movie.
Well, I was going to say, maybe it works more in a comic book movie.
Was fine. It didn't work for me in this. So that's why I would give him my no ma'am.
And, you know, and like, I've never been like a really big fan of Jason Clarke.
Oh, same.
But I actually thought he was
fine.
He was fine.
I think they could have found someone better.
Oh, I absolutely agree. He wasn't bad enough to be my no ma'am.
Correct. Anything, you got Corey Stoll. You know, like, I could have told you that was my no ma'am the moment I saw that. But
I knew it was as soon as I saw him on the
screen. Jason Clarke is just, he's not good. I don't like him. He bugs me.
Yeah.
Every time I see him on a movie screen, I just...
Oh, ugh. And the worst was that Terminator Genesis.
Yeah. He's not good. Not great.
But to be fair, he was okay in this movie. But yeah, you're right. They could have totally gotten somebody better. All right. Well,
why don't you give us a rating? How many reels are you going to give First Man?
I gave it three. I gave it three reels.
Okay.
And I'll go ahead and go into it with I reserve the possibility to change my score if I ever see it again and I'm in a better state of mind.
Okay.
but for now, it was a three because I think you're right. Like, I can't think necessarily of what I would have cut out, but it felt long to me.
It did. It's
so
long.
Between that and, like I said, just my idea of the aesthetics of the, not the, not the shots themselves, but the way that they looked, like the surface noise, knocked it down to a 3.
Yeah. I went with a 3.5.
Okay. I thought you might.
Yeah. It wasn't quite that, like, when I look at my Four Reels movies, those are movies I am in love with.
Yeah.
That if someone hadn't seen, I would push them into a theater and make them watch. And it's just shy of that for me. I mean, it's about as high as a 3.5 can get for me without being a 4, but just something is lacking. I don't know if it's that it was a little too long or what, but like it just there's something missing for me. I can't quite put my finger on it, but honestly, like it pains me to say it, but I don't know how relevant it's going to be come award season. I think we're definitely going to get Ryan Gosling nominated. I think Claire Foy has a pretty good shot as supporting actress, but and visual effects maybe.
Right.
But like, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to get a lot more love than that. I think it'll probably get a best picture since they do up to 10, but I just don't know. It wasn't quite.
It doesn't get it if they only do 5 or 6.
Right. Maybe. I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of really, really good stuff coming out this year that we still haven't seen.
Yeah.
So, but this is really good. It's so amazingly shot. I don't know if Damien Chazelle is capable of making less than a 3.5 real movie, to be honest with you. He's just so good. And this is great, but there's just something. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but it keeps me from putting in that Four Real territory.
Okay.
But yeah, it's great. It's really good.
Well, awesome. So what do you think? Should we get into some recommendations?
Let's recommend gay some stuff.
All right. You go first on this one.
I have kind of two.
Okay.
Because one of mine, there's not a lot of opportunity to participate in, so it's hard for me to recommend it. And then one, everyone can and should participate in. So okay. It's easy for me to recommend. So the one that's a little more difficult to recommend, I went to it this weekend. It was so great. Was Nina West's Heels of Horror.
I had such a feeling that you were going to.
Yeah. But I mean, there's not many tickets left.
Yeah.
And it's obviously very limited. Like, you have to be in Columbus. And
I'm bummed we didn't get. We went last year, but we don't have tickets this year.
It's a good show. It's really great. I mean, and with her ongoing foot issues, who knows how much longer she's going to be doing this.
That's so true.
So it was, and it was really good. I loved it. It's always such a great time. Her shows just in general, it's such a great escape. Like, you go and for 2 hours, you are just in this world, and the production values and the thought and the, it's just so much fun. And this show is no exception. It's really great. I mean, her Halloween show, her Heels of Horror shows are usually
the woman loves Halloween.
Yes. So if any of you aren't from Columbus, our local drag queen, Nina West, does big productions a few times a year, usually definitely a big spring production, then big Halloween. And this was Heels of Horror 11. It's going through Halloween. I think there's maybe even be like a show or two in November. It flows over, but I think there's only like standing room tickets left at this point.
Oh yeah, the tables are gone.
It's at Access, and it's so great. It's a fun time. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I imagine if people really wanted to see what it was like, they could probably YouTube it. There's probably clips out there.
Probably
somebody's put something up there.
But my other thing, so I don't know if you noticed my sticker, Mike.
I did. You Ohio voting today.
I Ohio voting. So obviously, it is very close to midterm election time, which is November 6th, a Tuesday, as always.
As always.
But, you know, you may be thinking to yourself, hey, I have plans on Tuesday, November 6th. I can't
do that. I'm
getting
my ass bleached.
Right. Well, good news for you. In most places, there is early voting, and early voting has opened up in Ohio, I know, but also in many other places if you're listening and you're not in Ohio. So check out what the voting rules are in your state. figure that out and go vote. I went and voted today. It was super fast, super easy. I actually was on a time crunch because I had to get to this movie. I didn't realize it was a little bit further away than I was thinking it would be to get to the...
So these early voting places are not necessarily the same
place. It's not your polling place.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's typically a board of elections place or a central place that just anyone can go. And so it can be a little harder because it's a little further out maybe than your polling place that you'll have on your on November 6th. But I went. It was super fast, super easy. It was great. Super awesome experience. So make sure you vote. And I will plug a website. Last week I talked about Pod Save America, which is a podcast / HBO special right now. They have a website called votesaveamerica.com that you can look up your where you're registered to vote, a sample ballot, all kinds of great information that can help you make the decisions or be more informed about voting this midterm. So I would recommend that as well. So lots of recommends from me, mostly okay. about voting. Everyone can and should do it. Vote early, vote often. Do what you got to do.
Like giving blood, it's quick and easy. Although unlike giving blood,
Gays can do it. Yeah. Still, it depends on how the election goes this year, but yeah, gays can still vote as of now. Yeah. We're recording on October 15th. Gays can still vote. I can verify that. Yes.
But still cannot give blood.
Yeah. It depends on who wins the election this year, but yeah.
All right. So, so mine is I've mentioned this guy a couple times on our show, but, My friend, singer-songwriter Tom Goss, just put out a new single, a new song, and a video, and it's called "Round in All the Right Places," and it is you know, I've mentioned before too. Tom is what they call a chaser, so he's into larger men. That's his thing, and the video and the song are meant to promote positive body image for guys who are people in general, but it's specifically highlighting men that are larger. He's getting some good press for it. I'm very excited about it too, because I played bass on the song.
Did you?
I did.
Aww.
And
we gotta get Tom on the show. You talk about him all the time.
I know. I want to get him on the show. Yeah, I was bummed when he was staying with us last time. Just the timing didn't work out right for that. But yeah, so it's called "Round in All the Right Places." That sounds like
a great name of a country song.
Well, it's actually more. It's almost kind of a croonier kind of song.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, hopefully people can go check that out.
Cool. Yeah, I will have to check that out for sure.
Cool. All right. Well, Ryan?
Well, Mike?
I think it's time to let people know how to get a hold of us.
If you want to grab me, you know, just show up in a dark alley in Columbus and chances are you will find some luck or need to go to the doctor tomorrow.
And yeah.
Oh, you meant on social media.
I did.
Right.
Which I suppose could also be Grindr.
Yep. It could be.
Could be.
Has been. Sadly.
All right, everybody.
I had someone named Brenda hit me up on Grindr yesterday.
Brenda?
Yeah. Her name was Brenda.
Oh.
Or his name. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to misgender.
Yeah.
Brenda.
Well, it's 2018.
From Grindr. So I think we're in love now.
Aw.
Yeah.
Can't wait to meet her.
This one's for you, Brenda.
It's going out to you, Brenda. All right. So if you haven't already, become a real friend and follow us on Twitter at Real Gay and Instagram at Real Gay Movie Show. Like our page on Facebook. Also, wherever you listen, iTunes, Stitcher, Google, or Spotify, please subscribe and give us some feedback. You can also send us comments and questions or questions and comments to realgaymovieshow@gmail.com. That's R-E-E-L. So
and G-A-Y.
Right. M-O-V-I-E-S-H-O-W. S-H-I-T. Okay, so that's it for us, folks. Have a real gay day.
I love you, Brenda.